Meditation. This is someone I know from my past life, I think, because therefore you will see little Divya acting very affectionately towards me. I just wanted to say today is a very important day in the Vaishnava echelon, but it is an important day for all spiritual people on a spiritual path. It's Guru Purnim, as you know. There are many Purnimas during the day. Are there 24 Purnimas or 12 Purnimas in a year?
12.
12, yes, each for each month. So this is the Purnima where the moon, I wanted to say, is the brightest. It is spreading most of the light. It is singled out from all the other 12 Purnimas. And it is it is called the Guru Purnima. There is a reason. It is said on our own, we cannot see spiritual knowledge. We need a guru, a teacher, or acharyas from which knowledge comes and helps us see what was hidden to our eyes before. The example of light is given in a night. The eye cannot see alone. It requires the light of the moon or a candle or any other source of light. Alone, the eye cannot see in the darkness of the night. So the Guru Purnima celebrates in all traditions or lineages, sampradayas, spiritual directions. You will find it under the Buddhists will celebrate it, the followers of Shankaracharya will celebrate it, because on the spiritual path it is acknowledged universally across all dogmatic boundaries that yes, we need a guru to see spiritually. And he has opened our eyes, Om Agyana Timirandasya, with the Shalakaya of knowledge. It is there. And it's interesting that on this particular day, our bhakti retreat in the Alps of Switzerland do take place, and perhaps it is a message to all of us, wherever we are, whether we have accepted already formally a guru or are still considering, or even if we have decided to not go in this direction in a formal bond, but we like to learn is very important for us. And that is bhakti retreat. It is there. Growth can only take place by either spiritual experiences or by spiritual education. And my dear everyone, there are three reasons usually why people don't experience growth. And I would like to address those who are in the Hare Krishna movement. There are three reasons also why devotees don't experience further growth in their life. And one of them is pride. That may not be so much there. The second reason is just being so busy with the day-to-day things which demand our attention, Even as a devotee, you may have projects which are so busy that you can't give enough time to think of Krishna during your day. And the second is complacency. No? You think, okay, that's enough, that's where I am, that's what it is in this life. You subconsciously sabotage yourself with this idea that further growth is not for me. Yes, the moon rises today and tells us there are things which you have not yet seen. It lights up the night and it calls to our souls, grow, move forward. Don't idealize normalcy, not even in the Hare Krishna movement. So I wanted to glorify Srila Prabhupada briefly by saying, by letting you hear his voice, the voice of the guru, and so on. There was one minister in Bengal, his name was Tarun Kanti Ghosh, one of the ministers in the government of West Bengal. He was a devotee of Gauranga, like all Paka Bengalis are. And he came once to Srila Prabhupada, and the devotees greeted him with Hare Krishna, but he said, Jai Gaur. He's a tall, built man, quite charismatic. He could play Jarasandha or Kamsa in a drama, very strong person. But he and his family is very pious. They brought out this Amrita Bazaar Patrika, it's a newspaper, where they published Bhaktivinoda Thakur's articles and also some of the speeches of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So Tarun Kanti wanted to impress Prabhupada and said, I met a yogi who produced with his hand an apple, and he gave me a slice of apples. What do you think? Isn't that groovy in America, they say. That's wonderful. You know. So he was very impressed, but Srila Prabhupada presented a different perspective. And I think if you hear this, you will know what the voice of Prabhupada. You will hear the voice of the moon, the rising moon. Yes, he can produce an apple, Prabhupada said. But what about Krishna? Krishna can produce an apple tree that will produce so many apples, and within every apple are so many seeds, and every single seed can produce another tree that in turn can produce so many apples and so many more seeds and trees. And there are so many apple trees, Prabhupada said, not just on our planet, but on so many planets. That is Krishna's mystic power. And then he made his point. He said, if we make friends with Krishna, Prabhupada said, Krishna can give us any number of apples. And practically it is happening. We have so many centers all over the world with so many devotees and so many guests coming daily, and every day we are offering and distributing so many apples. Where are the apples coming from? Our devotees are not going to the factory or the office to work. Where are all the apples coming from? Krishna is supplying them. So we are not so interested in making friends with some yogi who can give us one slice of an apple. We are interested in becoming friends with Krishna, who can give us any number of apples. So you might chuckle about Prabhupada's somewhat endearing example. Prabhupada doesn't speak of apples here. He speaks of becoming a devotee of Krishna and Ananya's Chintayantamang, being supplied by Krishna, entering the Krishna samsara, the family of Krishna, and you know, having a close relationship to Krishna. Sigi Jung, the famous Swiss psychoanalyst, he spoke of the distant God and the close God. And Krishna is definitely the close God, as I wish to show in the seminar. It's actually called the seven oceans of Krishna's sweet qualities. Those who are into yoga understand seven. Aren't there seven main chakras? Perhaps it is very, very deep subject matter, which you will hear. Seven oceans of Krishna's divine qualities. And we will learn ways and means to absorb ourselves in these oceans, to become, to soak up Krishna's presence in our life, so that when we leave, we have the experience of the close God, not the distant God, not the God of the philosophers, not the gods of the Bhagavatam lectures, which are, we hear about him in the lecture and we forget him the moment we get up from the lecture. No, the Lord who is there and accompanies me through all my daily actions. It's a very interesting subject. It has to do with the book which I'm trying to finish. It is an outreach book on meditation. Some of them very devotional meditations. It's outreach. It's not for those, I mean, yes, everyone is invited to read. But I have written, I'm writing a second book, which is called Smaranam, the ignored art of being with Krishna. It's a deeper art. It is opening a chapter which perhaps requires more attention in our spiritual lives. Perhaps you can see yourself. So yes, so it is something, I hope it will have thought-provoking subjects in it, but it will have a lot of sweetness in it. That's the seminar. Just to end this, I've prepared something for you. One moment. Can I ask Krishna Prema Rupa to hold the microphone for me? I told you I will look at you. There was once a candle, and one day it lived its life, it accumulated actually dust. One day a match came to the candle and it said, "Listen, I have an order from above to light you, actually." "Oh," said the candle, "no, don't do this." "I live a very comfortable life. And fire is bad for the figura." In English, I think the shape you should say. Don't keep your fire for yourself. The match said, "I thought the same. I was hiding in my matchbox. I thought that burning is dangerous. Until one day, I opened my little world a little bit and I saw a fire. It was burning. And it was clear to me that my dharma, my sanatan dharma is actually to learn Hare Krishna. I don't think I have my big. Vic means this in German, it's doch. Vic, you understand? The candle said, I don't have my big, I have no capacity for burning. It's so bad for my shape! the match. You don't know. When you do your, what you're meant to do, your sanatan dharma, you will live eternally with the Lord. You will live eternally with the Lord. So the candle became enthusiastic and said, please light me. Here's my wick. And the match did so. And the candle burned. And when its time came, it went to the other realm, where there is no birth and death, continued on. I wish all of you that during this summer retreat, you will meet an enlightened match, and that you will also get your spark and begin to burn brightly in the fire of Krishna consciousness, empowered by enthusiasm, by determination, and when necessary also by patience. So thank you very much. Welcome to the many seminars which are given, and especially I think I look forward very much to our kirtans with Balahari. I regularly catch fire in the kirtans of Balahari. Thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.
In America, we call this a hard act to follow. But actually, this was a good preparation for saying very briefly what our seminar will be about. But before I do that, I want to express my gratitude for this opportunity to be here again after from last year. It's something special about this particular retreat. It's we use the word retreat, but I think especially hearing about lighting candles. Now, I have to confess, that made me think of some lines of some rock music, which I think you know, but we don't go there. But I think there's something special about this retreat, which is something more than a retreat. Retreat is kind of like, you know, back off. I've had enough. Of course, we are retreating from, we could say, from our day-to-day lives to come to a special, a sort of stopping of time in a way. And this is so wonderful. It's special power, I think. Spiritual power that we can gather together. What is going to happen in our seminar workshop is something which some of you are immediately going to think, no, that's not for me. But what I want to suggest is maybe that's exactly why it would be good for you to take part. We have a saying in English to stretch the envelope, to go out of our comfort zone. You've probably heard that expression. So what I want to do in our sessions, each of 4 days, we're calling it the yoga of play, and this is a play on an expression from Srila Prabhupada, from Krishna, from Bhagavad Gita, who says, yoga karmasu kaushalam, that yoga is the art of work, of karma. So I'm drawing from this and also from another verse in the Gita, yukta hara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasya, yukta sapna avodasya yoga valati, dukkha ha. You want to get free, we all want to get free from dukkha, from misery. How to do that? Krishna gives an interesting tip. He says, be regulated, but he includes in his list of things to be regulated about vihara. And vihara can mean play. It can mean recreation. We have another saying in English, all work and no play makes Jack a double boy. Our tradition, our Vaishnava tradition, in some sense, central to our tradition, is drama. It all starts with, it starts with the rasa dance, you could say, when the gopis are looking for Krishna, and they're not finding him. So what do they do?
They imitate
Krishna and Krishna's pastimes. Imitation. Mimesis, it's called in Greek. So we're going to do kind of 2 things. One, we're going to explore some of the dramatic tradition that we already have, in particular Chaitanya Chandradoya Nataka of Kavi Karnapura. And I think we'll also look a bit at Vrindavan Das Thakur's chapter 18, Madhya Lila, describing Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his associates performing a drama. Very interesting. We can read some of this and discuss. But also, I want to do a bit of experimentation. Last year, what did we do? Some of you were here, and some of you took part. We played with some ideas about what happens to Hiranyakashipu after he was killed. So we got to churning our thoughts about what could have possibly happened. How did Hiranyakashipu eventually become Ravana? What happened in the transition? So, we may look at that again this time. We'll see. It depends. We'll see what your mood is. But I'm thinking also, and I don't want to scare you away, but I think we want to do a bit of, let's call it semi-improvisation. You know the word improvisation?
Improvisation.
But we're not going to do the hardcore improvisation, which is do it now without thinking. We're going to first do some thinking, some talking with each other about what we want to do, and then we'll see what happens. And there's something they say in improvisation, I hope this will reassure you, that it's you just might be okay to take part in this. One of the rules in improvisation is that whatever you do, whatever you say, it's never wrong. There's no right and there's no wrong. It's all right. It's all right. The idea is, Krishna is in our hearts, and Krishna is the supreme personality of creativity. And he gives us the ability to also express ourselves, to be creative. And something I have found over some years where I've encourage devotees especially to write, I'm always amazed at the depth, the sincerity, and the creativity of devotees. So I'd like to see if we can churn this. This is part of the Sagaramantana process of deepening our Krishna consciousness, and yeah, I want to welcome you to try it out, see what happens, see what unpredictable things might happen. One thing I'm thinking to do is, again, we'll see how the mood is. You know this, there's a song of 8 verses taking off from Harinama, 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 Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva,
Gati,
Ramita. So there's Madaram, Madare, Yogi, Madare, Yogi, Mangalam, Pavanam, Pavane, Yogi, Harinama, Kevalam. There's 8 verses. It occurred to me we could create, sort of in our imagination, a music video of these 8 songs, 8 verses. I don't know yet how we're going to do this. But you may know. So let's see what comes up. What do you think? Is this something you'd like to try out? Yes, no.
Yes.
Not me. I'm a candle that never lights. No, not me. During your session, I'm gonna go for a walk.
Thank you, Krishna. Offering this seminar, and actually my dear friend Vrindavan Vinodini, who's a professional speaker, is going to be joining me. Last year when we did the Vaishnavi Sangha, when I had asked in the room, I think there were 60 or 70 ladies, I asked how many of you would like to give class if you had the opportunity, and how many of you are giving classes. And it was about 10% were giving class of the 70 or 80% that would like to. And same with leading kirtans in public arenas. So we were discussing what's the difference between those of you who want to and those of you who are actually doing it. So we talked about, okay, let's figure out a way to help you all bridge that gap. And in Australia, we did this seminar, and we had both, we had brahmacharis and householder men, we had ladies, we had sannyasis, and we just created a simple segregation that when we break into partner shares and group shares, that the men stay with the men, the ladies stay with the ladies, and that way there isn't another layer of intimidation or shyness or whatever, blocks. So we'll do that. It's open for anyone who wants to come, and it's in the afternoon on both Tuesday and Thursday, so on the break after lunch. So you have to really want to come to make it, you know, give up your afternoon nap. But you're welcome to, I recommend you come to both, but you're also welcome to come to one or the other. You'll get something from both. And it's, the whole thing is experiential. It's not a lecture. It's having fun with it. So I was really appreciating, Maharaj, you were talking about improvisation, because that's a lot of what it is learning how to get out of your own head and stop preventing yourself, wipe off some of that dust, and just get used to speaking. We all have conversations, and speaking is having a conversation. It's just with, it's in a different setting sometimes. It's not just one person or three people, sometimes it's many people. But it's learning to have a conversation and learning how to prepare so that you feel confident that you can present. So we'll make it fun, and we'd love to have anyone who's held themselves back from speaking or singing in a public arena to come for it and get used to it and just make the, take the next step. And yeah, and I would love it, Krishna Kshetra Swami, if you could come and share. And Satchidananda Swami, you're also welcome to come
and share. Thank you.
A little bit, if you want, what your experience was. I often ask people, like, who are now very accustomed to speaking, do you remember what it was like for you when you first started? Because most of us have a story. Most of us remember how nervous we were, or how uncomfortable we were, or how many times we held ourselves back when Krishna arranged the opportunity for us to speak, to share, to sing, and we didn't go for it. And switching the mindset to, instead of always having the reason, like always having that bag of excuses ready for any opportunity, no, I can't because of this, I can't because of that. That's what we do as adults. So instead, having that commitment that, okay, anytime Krishna gives me the opportunity, instead of making myself small and refusing, instead I'm going to accept the opportunity and say yes, and then I'm going to figure out how I'm going to do it. It completely changes everything. When, and I actually, anyways, let me do that here, but I was very, very, very intimidated to speak. My husband doesn't believe it, because he met me after years of doing book distribution and talking to 500 people a day. So he doesn't believe I was ever shy. But I was very shy and very quiet. And I actually, because of my work, I had to speak professionally. I had to be able to do public presentations. And so I, you know, did a lot of training because I was just so nervous about it and so had so much difficulty, even physically, practically having panic attacks when I had to speak. So I did a whole training, and the speaker, he made us make a commitment. There were 200 of us in this training course, and he said, from now on, everyone in this room, you have to make this commitment that anytime, every time you're asked to speak, you say yes. You're never allowed to say no again. I was like, whoa, what did I sign up for? And it makes all the difference in the world when you make that commitment that I'm just going to trust, and I'm going to now figure out how I'm going to do it. So You don't have to make that commitment when you come to the seventh, but you can at least break through the first barrier and just say, okay, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try it and see if there's something inside of me that needs to come out for me to be able to speak about Krishna comfortably to people I don't know. So, thank you. You're welcome.